Welcome to Base by Dace. Today, we're looking into some really significant new scientific work. It's research that seems to be changing how we think about what drives damage in diseases like multiple sclerosis, MS, and maybe even other conditions affecting the brain.
Absolutely. We're focusing on a key paper from Cell, published in 2025. It's titled, "The Immunoproteasome Disturbs Neuronal Metabolism and Drives Neurodegeneration and Multiple Sclerosis." The work was led by Dr. Marcel S. Wu and his colleagues.
Okay, so what was the big question they were trying to answer? We've known for a while that inflammation is a major player in MS, you know, causing this slow progressive damage.
Right, but how exactly that inflammation harms neurons at the cellular level, that's been, well, a bit unclear.
So the core idea, the hypothesis here, was that inflammation somehow disrupts the cell's protein disposal system, the proteasome specifically in neurons.
Precisely. And that this disruption leads to a kind of metabolic meltdown, ultimately causing the neurons to degenerate.
And it sounds like they found something quite unexpected.
They really did. It's a fascinating, almost counterintuitive mechanism where inflammation seems to twist a normally protective cellular process into something destructive within neurons.
Like the recycling system going rogue.
Exactly like that. A really good analogy.
So let's unpack this. We'll walk through the problem, how they set up their experiments, what they found, the clues, and crucially, what it all means. It sounds like a real scientific detective story.
Okay, so let's set the scene. Multiple sclerosis, MS. It's a tough disease, often hitting younger adults. The main feature is this persistent kind of low-grade inflammation in the brain and spinal cord.
And that leads to neurodegeneration over time.
Yes, exactly. And what's really important to understand is that this pattern inflammation driving neuron damage isn't unique to MS. We see similar things happening in Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, even just with aging.
So there's a shared vulnerability there for brain cells. They face multiple threats, right? Like overstimulation, problems clearing out damaged proteins, and running low on energy.
That's the triple threat, essentially. And this study really zooms in on that protein cleanup system you mentioned, the proteasome.
The cell's recycling plant.
Perfect. It's this complex machinery that breaks down proteins that are damaged or no longer needed. It's absolutely vital for keeping proteins in balance, what we call proteostasis. Without it, cells get clogged up with junk.
And how do neurons normally manage their energy? Because that seems key to what goes wrong here.
Right. So healthy neurons are quite careful with their energy. They typically keep glycolysis, that's the main sugar burning pathway, running at a low level.
How do they do that?
They constantly break down a specific enzyme, PFKFB3. By keeping PFKFB3 levels low, they can prioritize a different metabolic route.
Which is?
The pentose phosphate pathway, or PPP. This pathway is crucial because it produces antioxidants, things like NADPH and glutathione, or GSH. These are the neuron's primary defense molecules against oxidative stress, sort of cellular rust.
Okay, so it's a balance, controlled energy use to maximize defense. And the gap in knowledge was how inflammation disrupts this balance specifically in neurons.
Exactly. How does inflammation mess with the proteasome in neurons and lead to this metabolic chaos? That was the central question. It's a critical part of the neuron stress response that we just didn't understand well.
So how did Dr. Wu and the team tackle this? What was their experimental approach?
They used a really comprehensive set of models. It was quite robust.
Starting small scale.
Yes. They began in vitro in the lab dish, using cultured mouse brain cells, neurons specifically. They exposed these neurons to different inflammatory signals with a particular focus on one called interferon gamma, or IFNNO.
And then moved to more complex systems.
Right. They used mouse models of MS called EAE, experimental autoimmune encephalomyelitis. And importantly, they used different strains of mice that mimic different aspects of how MS progresses in people.
And did they connect this back to humans?
Critically, yes. They analyzed postmortem brain tissue from people who had MS and compared it directly to brain tissue from people without MS. This comparison across models from dish to mouse to human really strengthens their findings.
What kinds of tools did they need to probe these changes happening inside the neurons? Must have been pretty sophisticated stuff.
Absolutely. They used a whole battery of techniques, things like RNA sequencing to see which genes were turned on or off, and advanced proteomics to measure protein levels specifically inside the neurons. Very precise.
And measuring the proteasome itself, its activity.
Yes, they had ways to directly measure how efficiently the proteasome was breaking down proteins, even looking at specific subunits. Then they did deep dives into metabolism measuring energy production, using techniques like seahorse assays to look at oxygen consumption and acidification rates, which tell you about mitochondrial function and glycolysis.
Wow, okay. And checking the damage, the oxidative stress.
They measured the levels of those key antioxidants, NADPH and GSH, and also markers of damage, like reactive oxygen species, ROS, and signs of lipid peroxidation, like 4-HNE. Cellular rust markers, essentially.
And to really nail down cause and effect.
They used some clever genetic tools. They created mice where they could knock out or delete specific genes only in neurons, so they could target PSMB8 or PSKFB3 just in brain cells. They also used drugs, specific inhibitors, to block the function of these proteins.
Yeah.
ONX0914 for the immunoproteasome and PFK158 for PFKFB3.
And they could even map these changes in tissue.
Yeah, using a technique called MALDI mass spec imaging, they could see where metabolic changes were happening directly within spinal cord sections. Of course, all this data was backed up by rigorous statistical analysis.
Okay, let's get to the results. This sounds like where the big surprises came in. What was the first major finding?
It really centers on that proteasome subunit we mentioned, PSMB8. They found really strong evidence that PSMB8 gets significantly increased, upregulated in neurons during inflammation.
In neurons, not just immune cells.
Exactly. They saw it clearly in the EAE mouse models. And, perhaps most importantly, they saw it in the human MS brain samples. It was elevated in active lesions, but also in areas that looked normal, the normal appearing gray matter.
And why was that so surprising?
Because PSMB8 is part of what's called the immunoproteasome. In immune cells, this version of the proteasome is generally thought to be more efficient, helping them process antigens. So finding it ramped up in neurons was, well, unexpected.
So the assumption might have been that more PSMB8 means better protein cleanup.
You'd think so, right? But here's the twist, the paradox.
Okay.
While PSMB8 typically enhances proteasome function in immune cells, this study found that in neurons, when PSMB8 gets incorporated into the proteasome, it actually reduces its overall ability to degrade proteins.
Reduces it so it gums up the works.
It seems like it. They saw an accumulation of proteins tagged for destruction, specifically with K48 polyubiquitin tags. That buildup is a clear signal that the waste disposal system isn't keeping up. The recycling plant is slowing down.
So this impaired proteasome, bogged down by PSMB8, what does that lead to?
It directly causes that enzyme, PFKFB3, to accumulate inside the neurons.
Ah, the one they normally keep low to boost antioxidant production.
Exactly. So PFKFB3 levels rise because it's not being degraded properly by the impaired proteasome. And when PFKFB3 builds up, it forces a major shift in the neuron's metabolism.
Towards glycolysis.
Yes.
Burning more sugar.
Yes. Neurons start running glycolysis much harder, generating quick energy. But the trade-off is that the other pathway, the pentose phosphate pathway, the antioxidant factory, gets dialed down.
Meaning less NADPH, less glutathione, less protection.
Precisely. Their defenses are lowered.
And the consequence of that
is increased oxidative injury. You get more of those damaging reactive oxygen species, more lipid peroxidation, the cellular rust. And crucially, this whole situation makes the neurons much more vulnerable to a specific type of cell death called ferroptosis.
Ferroptosis.
Yeah, it's a particularly nasty, iron-dependent form of cell death. Very damaging for neurons.
Okay, so let me see if I've got this chain. Inflammation triggers PSMB8 in neurons. Unexpectedly, PSMB8 impairs the proteasome in neurons. This leads to PFKFB3 buildup. That forces a metabolic switch away from antioxidant production towards glycolysis. And this leaves neurons vulnerable to oxidative stress and this ferroptosis cell death.
You've got it. That's the cascade they uncovered.
So the absolutely critical next step is, can you intervene? Can you break that chain and protect the neurons?
And this is where the results get really exciting from a therapeutic perspective. They tested interventions targeting both ends of that cascade.
Starting with PSMB8.
Yes. They used those neuron-specific knockout mice, deleting PSMB8 only in neurons. They also used that inhibitor drug, ONX0911.
Yep.
In both cases, they saw significant protection in the EAE mice.
Protection how? Less severe disease.
Less severe disease symptoms, yes. But also, crucially, protection against the loss of neurons themselves, their connections, the synapses, and even their axons. They also saw preserved mitochondrial health.
And you mentioned the neuron-specific knockout was key.
Incredibly key. Because deleting PSMB8 only in neurons gave protection without changing the overall immune cell infiltration into the brain or affecting things like MHC class lysis expression. This strongly points to a direct neuron-intrinsic protective effect. It wasn't just dampening the immune system globally.
That's a huge point. It means you could potentially protect neurons without broad immunosuppression. What about targeting the other end, PFKFD3?
Same story, really. They used neuron-specific PFKFB3 knockout mice and also the PFKFB3 inhibitor drug, PFK158. Both approaches provided significant neuroprotection in the EAE models.
Reducing disease severity again?
Yes, reduce severity, preserve neurons, synapses, axons, and importantly, targeting PFKFB3 also reduced the downstream consequences, less oxidative stress, less lipid peroxidation, less mitochondrial injury.
So blocking either PSMB8 induction or PFKFB3 accumulation seems to work.
It looks that way based on these models. And another interesting point they made was that this whole pathway inflammation causing PSMB8 issues leading to PFKFB3 buildup seems to operate independently of other known ways. PFKFB3 is regulated in neurons under normal conditions.
So it's a distinct pathway activated by inflammatory stress.
Exactly, which makes it a potentially unique target.
Okay, let's move into the discussion. What does this all mean in the bigger picture? This feels like it connects a lot of dots.
I think it really does. It provides a unifying explanation for why we see pretty some problems in MS and potentially other neurodegenerative diseases. It directly links inflammation, something we knew was involved, to a specific metabolic breakdown within the neurons themselves. That's been a missing link.
And this PSMB8 paradox, where it's helpful in immune cells but harmful in neurons, that's a major implication, right?
It's huge. It really underscores that you can't just assume a mechanism works the same way in every cell type. What might be a therapeutic target in the immune system could actually be harmful if it hits neurons the same way. It highlights the need for much more precise cell type specific therapies.
Which leads directly to the therapeutic potential.
Absolutely. This research throws open the door to new strategies. Specifically, targeting PSMB8 in neurons, or targeting PFKFB3, offers a completely novel neuroprotective approach for MS, maybe others too. It's different from just broadly suppressing the immune system.
And you mentioned it complements other pathways.
Yes, like the S pathway, which is another way neuronal antioxidant systems can be impaired. So you might need combination therapies eventually, but this PSMB8-PSKFB3 axis is a major new piece of the puzzle.
And does this have relevance beyond MS? You mentioned Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, aging earlier.
Well, neuroinflammation is a common theme in many of those conditions.
Yeah.
So it's certainly plausible that this mechanism, immunoproteasome dysfunction, leading to metabolic problems and oxidative stress in neurons, could be a contributing factor, maybe even a tipping point, in those diseases as well. It warrants investigation.
And again, the neuron-specific experiments really strengthen the case that this is about protecting the neurons directly.
That's right. Those genetic knockouts were vital to show the effect wasn't just a side effect of the drugs reducing inflammation overall. It confirms a direct neuroprotective potential by fixing this specific problem within the neuron.
Okay, so to wrap up the core conclusions from Dr. Wu and the team, inflammation, specifically driven by interferon gamma, causes neurons to make PSMB8.
Which, paradoxically, impairs their proteasome function.
Leading to a buildup of PFKFB3.
Which forces a metabolic shift, more glycolysis, less antioxidant production via the PPP.
Leaving neurons vulnerable to oxidative damage and ferroptosis, a clear, damaging chain reaction.
Precisely.
What about future directions? Where does the research go from here?
The author suggests several interesting avenues. One is to look more closely at how different types of proteasomes, the standard one, versus this immunoproteasome function in different subtypes of neurons. Our brains aren't homogeneous, after all.
Good point. What else?
They also want to explore if neurons have backup ways to get antioxidants like glutathione when this pathway is disrupted during inflammation. And another really interesting idea is whether the immunoproteasome changes the peptides, the small protein fragments that neurons release. That could potentially influence how the immune system perceives those neurons.
Fascinating. And like all good science, they acknowledge limitations, right?
Yes, absolutely. They mentioned they didn't fully quantify the extent of glutathione depletion, for example. Their work looked broadly at neuronal function, so digging into specific neuron types is needed. And a key practical point is that the current drugs, like ONX-0913, might still have some immunosuppressive effects systemically.
So the need for even more targeted delivery.
Exactly. Developing ways to get these inhibitors, or maybe newer tools like targeted protein degraders, specifically into neurons without affecting other cells, that's going to be a crucial next step for translating this into human therapies.
So overall, this work by Dr. Wu and colleagues is a really significant step forward. It clarifies a key mechanism of how inflammation damages neurons in diseases like MS.
It really does. It provides a clear, potentially actionable target for developing neuroprotective treatments. It's not just about stopping the inflammation anymore, but about strengthening the neurons against its effects.
And it leaves you thinking, doesn't it? How context is everything in biology? A system designed for one job, like the immunoproteasome in immune cells, can have such unexpectedly negative consequences when activated in a different setting, like an inflamed neuron.
It really highlights the complexity, and it suggests that understanding these specific, sometimes paradoxical, cellular mechanisms is going to be key if we want to find truly effective ways to protect our brain cells when they're under attack.
A really important piece of research.
This deep dive is based on an open access article under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License, CC BY 4.0. You'll find the DOI and link to the license in the episode description.